This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
North and South are talking. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Wednesday, January 3rd. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
South Korea says its cross-border hotline with the North has been reopened. Hear how the Trump administration is responding. Plus, we'll take you live to Seoul in just a moment.
On top of Mother Nature's deep freeze across much of the country, blizzard conditions are now in the forecast.
Long-serving Republican Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah is retiring at the end of his term next year. Is the door open for Mitt Romney to return to politics?
And with Hoda Kotb getting the coveted co-host job at the Today Show, things you should not do when you get that big promotion.
You can ruffle feathers very easily. There are going to be some hurt feelings among folks who were not promoted. And as we've seen from the past, you know, with what Ann Curry went through, for instance, at the Today Show, you know, it's not always so easy transitioning into a high-profile job.
Market Watch reporter Jacob Passy on do's and don'ts for the new big job. He's here in about 20 minutes. A couple of developments from the Korean Peninsula. First, North Korea earlier today reopened a border hotline with South Korea. Second, Washington says it's hearing reports that North Korea might be preparing to test fire another missile. And third, after a speech in which North Korean leader Kim Jong-un claimed he has a nuclear button on his desk, President Trump claimed in a tweet that he has a bigger and more powerful nuclear button, and it works. The North's decision, by the way, to open the border phone line came a day after South Korea proposed high-level discussions. On New Year's Day, Mr. Kim said he was open to speaking with the South. Here's UN Ambassador Nikki Haley.
As we hear reports that North Korea might be preparing for another missile test, I hope that does not happen. But if it does, we must bring even more measures to bear on the North Korean regime.
U.S. officials say they won't take any talks between North and South Korea seriously if they do not contribute to denuclearizing North Korea. Well, with North Korea reopening this long-closed communication line, one of the main subjects of discussion yesterday was the North's possible attendance at next month's Winter Olympics to be held in Pyeongchang, South Korea. We're joined now by Wall Street Journal reporter Andrew Jung, who's based in Seoul, South Korea. He's with us live. Morning, Andrew. Are tensions easing between the North and South?
Hopefully that might be the case, but I think there's a lot of suspicion that that may not be the case. The talks for the talks that could happen next Monday here in South Korea are just beginning, and there's the talks between the North and South has just begun. They revived the phone line a few hours ago. They ensured that the phone line was okay because it had been out for a couple of years. And I think there is a lot of skepticism still on what this kind of talks would bring and mean for eventually the North Korean nuclear weapons issue.
That skepticism you referenced, I think I saw something, maybe somebody in the U.S. said this could be the North's attempt to drive a wedge, meaning between what, the U.S. and South Korea, say?
Right. I mean, there's always that, I guess, suspicion on what the motives of North Korea is when they say they want to talk. And that was the case a few days ago when Kim Jong-un said in his New Year's address that they want to talk. And obviously, the suspicion that this was aimed at, I guess, you know, dividing the coordination and cooperation between South Korea and the U.S. Was really alive here in South Korea. Just want to note that there's a lot of suspicion that the North is going to condition its attendance and participation in the 2018 Winter Games on a military exercise that usually begins in March here in South Korea, involving troops from both South Korea and the U.S. So again, there is that kind of suspicion here surrounding what North Korea's motives may be.
Okay, so this is not necessarily about a North Korean delegation to the Olympics in South Korea? This is about some sort of bargaining chip?
Right. So North Korea could say, hey, we'll be there in the Winter Games since South Korea wants us to be there. But, you know, in order for us to be there, you guys have to do this. And that could be postponing or even canceling the military exercises, which some people say here is probably not going to happen. But then those could be the conditions that the North could attach in return for coming to the Winter Olympic Games.
All right. So then what about the whole idea of the topic of denuclearization being discussed? Would that happen at this stage of the game?
Unlikely, according to people that I've spoken to. Unlikely because the talks have just begun, and it's going to begin and spin out for a couple of years. The South will try to, I guess, tread carefully, especially because it's just the beginning of talks. And broaching that kind of topic early in this kind of conversation will not, I guess, be strategic, according to some Seoul officials. And eventually that will be the aim from Seoul and Washington to discuss that kind of topic. But I don't think it'll happen in a few days.
Got it. We're speaking live this morning with Wall Street Journal reporter Andrew Jung, who's in Seoul, South Korea. How about what the U.S. referenced yesterday, word of preparations for another nuclear test by the North?
There is always that suspicion that the North could fire a missile, it could test another nuclear weapon. But I think the focus and the attention here in Seoul is more towards the talks. And I guess there is a lot of skepticism, but again, there is hope that the talks will happen. And although a missile launch is hypothetically possible, a lot of people don't think it's going to happen in the next week or so.
All right. Any of reaction in South Korea today about Mr. Trump's tweet yesterday that he would like to remind North Korea that he too has a nuclear button and it's big, it's powerful, and more accurate, or something along those lines?
Right. I mean, the South Korean media was interested in that particular tweet, and the tweet did gather a lot of eyes and ears. But it did, I guess, reignite some fear that Mr. Trump could be a little the scarier one than Kim Jong-un. But at the same time, a lot of conservatives in South Korea were, felt assured that the U.S. still, remained behind South Korea in dealing with the North. So there were a lot of, interest, but at the same time, mixed responses to that particular tweet.
Got it. Very good. Hey, thanks for sharing a few minutes, Andrew. Nice talking to you. Wall Street Journal reporter Andrew Jung with us live this morning from Seoul, South Korea. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Support for This Morning with Gordon Deal comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Chances are you're confident when it comes to your work, your hobbies, and your life. Rocket Mortgage gives you that same level of confidence when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. With Rocket Mortgage, you can apply simply and understand fully so you can mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/Gordon. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS consumeraccess.org number 3030. Glad you could spend some time with us on this Wednesday. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. Need help finding the right Dell PCs with Intel Core processors for your business? Call 877-BUY-DELL to talk to a Dell small business tech advisor. Utah Senator Orrin Hatch says he'll retire when his current term ends. Some say that opens the door for a possible political comeback by former Republican presidential nominee Mitt Romney, who's also the former governor of Massachusetts. Mr. Hatch, who's 83 and the longest-serving Republican senator, announced his decision soon after accomplishing one of the most significant achievements of his career, the new $1.5 trillion tax cut.
I've always been a fighter. I was an amateur boxer in my youth, and I brought that fighting spirit with me to Washington. But every good fighter knows when to hang up the gloves.
The seat is considered Mr. Romney's to lose if he wants it. He has not seen eye to eye with Mr. Trump, once calling him a phony and a fraud during the 2016 Republican primary. Mr. Trump had encouraged Mr. Hatch to run again, though also said that Mr. Romney, quote, was a good man. Others who might run if Mr. Romney does not include Republican House members Mia Love and Chris Stewart. A deep freeze is keeping an icy grip on much of the eastern part of the country. In addition, a storm is in the forecast that could deliver blizzard conditions. A mix of freezing rain, sleet, and snow is forecast to fall in an area from northern Florida to South Carolina, and blizzards are possible tomorrow across portions of eastern New England, where the National Weather Service says some areas could see up to 15 inches of snow. National Weather Service meteorologist Greg Galina.
We'll start to see some warming across the Great Plains. By midweek into the late week, you'll start to see warmer temperatures.
Boston tied a 100-year-old record yesterday with 7 consecutive days of temperatures that did not top 20 degrees. Reuters says the cold is blamed for 6 deaths across Wisconsin, West Virginia, North Dakota, and Michigan. And go figure this, in many parts of Alaska, a state known for its harsh winters, the weather was unseasonably warm. Yesterday, temps in Anchorage reached 44 degrees. 21 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Florida and North Korea reopened a long-closed border hotline with South Korea today, hours after President Trump mocked the North's leader by saying he has a bigger and more powerful nuclear button than Kim Jong-un does. The North's decision to open the border phone line came a day after South Korea proposed high-level discussions amid a tense standoff over North Korea's missile and nuclear programs. State Department spokeswoman Heather Nauert says South Korea will remain a U.S. ally regardless.
Kim Jong-un may be trying to drive a wedge of some sort between the two nations, between our nation and the Republic of Korea. I can assure you that that will not happen. That will not occur.
U.S. officials say Washington will not take any talks between North and South Korea seriously if they don't contribute to denuclearizing North Korea. There will be some familiar but stubborn clashes facing lawmakers as Congress today begins its 2018 session, staring at the year's first potential stumbling block, a government shutdown unless there's a bipartisan spending pact by January 19th. Top White House officials plan to meet at the Capitol with House Speaker Paul Ryan, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, and each chamber's top Democrat. Two new senators will be sworn in today, Doug Jones of Alabama and Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Tina Smith, who replaces Al Franken. Arizona has fired football coach Rich Rodriguez after a claim was filed with the state attorney general's office alleging he ran a hostile workplace. In a lengthy statement posted to his Twitter account, Rodriguez explained that a former administrative assistant threatened to file a $7.5 million lawsuit against him alleging harassment. He says an outside investigation by the school into workplace misconduct found no wrongdoing on his part. But he also admitted to having a consensual extramarital affair with a woman not affiliated with the university. The year on Broadway has come to a very sparkly end for theater producers, as many shows recorded their most profitable weeks ever, despite theatergoers facing bitter cold and some eye-popping ticket prices. 10 shows last week earned more than $2 million, led by Hamilton, The Lion King, and Wicked, which each pulled in more than $3 million. The year ended with grosses soaring to $1.6 billion, attracting 13.7 million patrons, both records.
Holy cow.
And that's what happens in a good economy.
No kidding. Good numbers. Thank you, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Hoda Kotb has been named the new co-anchor of NBC's Today Show, joining Savannah Guthrie. The 53-year-old steps into the vacancy left by Matt Lauer, who was fired in late November amid allegations of sexual harassment in the workplace. It's a huge promotion. How do you handle something like this that's not just in the media, but in other lines of work? Here's MarcoWatch reporter Jacob Passy. Jacob, what have you put together?
So I was looking at basically, you know, the pitfalls to avoid when you've gotten a promotion or you know, have changed your role within a company, just because that can be a pretty dicey time for an employee. You know, you can ruffle feathers very easily. There are going to be some hurt feelings among folks who were not promoted. And as we've seen from the past, you know, with what Ann Curry went through, for instance, at the Today Show, you know, it's not always so easy transitioning into a high-profile job. So there are definitely things you need to keep in mind if you go through this. It's something that everyone, I think, goes through at some point in their career. So yeah, you don't have to be famous to deal with these issues.
Yeah. All right. So as you point out, too, kind of one of your first points here is basically don't step on the backs all of a sudden of the people you used to work with, right? Like, don't get so uppity or talk to only the higher-ups.
Right. Yeah, you don't want it to let it get to your head. You know, the support staff and the organization are so critical to you getting your work done effectively, and you don't want to develop kind of a complex when you get a promotion. You know, keep in mind that those support staff, the secretaries, the assistants, the everyone, they're very critical in getting the day-to-day work done. And you know, they're not necessarily enjoying the promotion that you've just gotten. Yeah. So
you said too, find out how you'll be judged in your new role, because that definition may have changed perhaps from the person you're replacing.
Exactly. Yeah, you want to have a clear sense of what the expectations are. You know, whenever there's a shakeup internally within an organization, the job requirements and job expectations may have changed as well. You know, in getting your promotion, they may be, you know, combining two roles within one position. So you know, you don't want to go in thinking, oh well, this is what the person who was in this job before did, so that's exactly what I have to do. You know, every time there's a change, there could be a change in expectations. So it's good to just get that laid out from the beginning.
Thanks, Jacob. MarketWatch reporter Jacob Passy. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday, January 3rd. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines: North and South Korea reopen a border hotline. Trump says his nuclear button is bigger than that of Kim Jong-un. On top of freezing temperatures, a winter storm is set to complicate things for the East Coast. Utah Senator Orrin Hatch retiring at the end of his term. Tonight's Powerball drawing is up to $440 million. And the animals making the most of all those boxes we received for the holidays. That story in about 20 minutes. President Trump may have big policy plans for 2018, but political distractions are likely to shadow prospects of big legislative achievements. White House officials said Mr. Trump wants to not only rein in the threat from North Korea, but also wants to tackle four top domestic priorities this year: healthcare, welfare reform, immigration, and a new infrastructure plan. More from David Jackson, White House correspondent at USA Today. David, what are you hearing?
Well, from their point of view, they're pretty optimistic given this, the fact that they passed a tax bill and they feel like they're going to get a budget here in the next couple of weeks. So they're starting to feel like they're getting the hang of things. And Trump and some of his aides are, at least in public, expressing confidence about the ability to work with Congress on some other things like immigration and welfare reform and all the rest.
All right, so speaking of spending, you point out, too, that infrastructure spending is generally a bipartisan issue. So where are we in terms of possibly getting an infrastructure deal?
Well, presumably either this week or next week, the Trump administration says it's going to roll out a new plan for infrastructure, and it's going to be not only just new roads and bridges, but they're also going to propose a new setup to where a lot of regulations guarding the construction of roads and bridges would be eliminated, that therefore making it projects already in the pipeline, make it easier for them to come online and be built. So we should be seeing an infrastructure program here in the next couple of weeks, and then Congress will get a chance to look at it and add or subtract programs as they see fit. Everyone likes roads and bridges, so it seems like something that can be done. I mean, Democrats will be somewhat concerned about it because it would add to the budget deficit that the tax cut is already increased. But I think by and large, that's another item that the administration feels good about, because you think everybody, especially in an election year, you think everybody wants to support building new roads and bridges.
Which Democrats were concerned about the budget deficit, by the way?
Just the critics of the tax bill. But yeah, I know where you're going with that one. But anyway, I suspect that's what they'll say with regard to a new infrastructure bill.
We're speaking with David Jackson, White House correspondent at USA Today. He's written a piece about things to watch in 2018 in terms of President Trump's agenda. You mentioned too welfare reform. What could happen with that?
Well, I'm not sure much will happen. The reason that was added to our list is because so many administration officials kept pointing it out to us, including President Trump himself. He's mentioned frequently his desire to try to reform the welfare system. He believes that there's too many people who are taking advantage of benefits that are offered, and that the requirements for some certain welfare programs should be tightened. I'm not sure how much of an appetite there will be for that in Congress, because a lot of people feel like the restrictions would fall heavily on the poor. I mean, it just doesn't seem to be, obviously the Democrats would be very opposed to it, and it doesn't seem like something that really fuels Republican fires. So I would have to say that that's probably a long shot, but it is something that the President Trump, I do look for him to propose a welfare reform program and to try to push it sometime during this year.
Wow. How about overseas, too? You mentioned North Korea and Iran.
I really think those are the two biggest problems. Certainly North Korea, I think, is the biggest challenge he's going to face, because we're kind of really getting down to the lick log time. The president has called on China and other countries to basically cut off any economic assistance to North Korea. They're trying to pressure Kim Jong-un's government into giving up nuclear weapons, but Kim Jong-un has made it clear he's not going to do that. In fact, the administration is anticipating a whole new set of nuclear tests over the course of the year. You know, the Trumpites haven't ruled out the military option, and at some point the push is going to come to shove, and I think there's going to be some kind of confrontation between the United States and North Korea. Whether it involves actual shooting, whether it involves nuclear weapons, remains to be seen. But I think that's going to be the biggest challenge Trump faces throughout this year.
Boy, and what about on the Iran front?
Well, Iran and I have changed ever since that story ran. You know, that's the danger of writing these stories. You know, circumstances always change. But over the weekend, there exploded a number of street protests in Iran going after the Islamic government there. So I think the Trumpites are kind of waiting back and see how this plays out. I think they'd love to see an overthrow of the government in Tehran. Don't know if that's going to be possible given the scope of the demonstrations we've seen, but that's something to look for, is to see how Trump handles this. He's obviously given tacit support to the protesters, and he's criticized the regime. The question will be, will he try to sanction the regime, and will he eliminate the nuclear deal that we currently have with Iran?
Thanks, David. David Jackson, White House correspondent at USA Today. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter with the username at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly as well on Twitter with the username at Gordon Deal. Thanks for spending time with us on this Wednesday. Welcome aboard. Beyond the headlines now, This Morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, we've all been in line behind that person who insists on counting out exact change, holding up countless commuters desperate for coffee because they feel the need to empty out their coin jar. Well, what if you went to go buy a car one day and the dealership was closed because someone strolled in with $11,000 worth of coins? A video recorded at a BMW dealership in China shows employees using every available surface, including the floors, to count out coins from more than 10 large boxes. The coins were reportedly brought in by a man who said he wanted to use them to purchase a car, telling employees that he'd been saving up all of his change and was finally ready to splurge on his new ride.
Wow.
Now, a couple questions here. Most importantly, $11,000, where does that get you to BMW dealership in
yes.
in China, apparently?
Very good.
Is that where we should be going there
okay.
to buy our cars?
Okay, and to your point,
yes.
If a BMW there costs $11,000,
yes.
would you still be saving money to spend, I would imagine, several thousand dollars to ship it back to the U.S.?
That's what I'm saying.
You don't even have to go there to complete the deal, possibly.
Yes, yes. That is the moral learned from this story, that we should all investigate buying our cars in China.
I like that. I like that. By the way, I wonder how much time that actually took, because that's kind of an all hands on deck, right?
Yeah.
Everybody
yeah.
start counting.
I can't imagine that would happen in the U.S. Can you imagine a U.S. car dealership shutting down for
yeah.
an entire day? It must have been a very slow day
right.
at this particular dealership,
right.
I'm guessing.
Imagine the guy who made the mistake of asking him, would you like to pay for this outright or finance it?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I'd like to pay outright.
Yes. And here comes, I'm going to back up the truck.
Right. Sound the alarm.
Yes. And if you've ever watched Jeopardy, you know that Alex Trebek and company are nothing if not sticklers for the rules. But even for longtime fans, what happened on New Year's Day had some doing a double take. During Monday's broadcast, a contestant named Nick Spitzer chose a clue from the music literature before and after category, which read, a song by Coolio from Dangerous Minds goes back in time to become a 1667 John Milton classic. Nick responded with, What is Gangster's Paradise Lost, which was accepted by Trebek as correct, and the contestant had $1,600 added to his tally. Unfortunately, upon further review, Jeopardy judges determined that because Nick pronounced the word gangster instead of gangsta the way Coolio did, his response was incorrect. The reversal cost Nick $3,200, the $1,600 he was awarded, plus another $1,600 for getting it wrong. To their credit, Jeopardy didn't shy away from the controversy, noting on their website that gangsta and gangster are both listed separately in the Oxford English Dictionary, each with its own unique definition. And it all turned out well for Nick, who, despite his flub of a 90s hip-hop classic, still wound up winning the game.
Wow.
Although I'm sure at the time, he was not a happy camper.
Probably right. Probably right. But for good for him. I think you deserve to win Jeopardy if you can get that.
Yes. That's a hard one.
That's a good before and after.
That's definitely a $1,600 clue if there ever was one.
Right. Very
nice
good.
Nice work out of him.
Good story. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. Glad you could spend some time with us on this Wednesday. Eating better and exercising are tied as the two most popular New Year's resolutions that Americans are making for 2018. But besides looking and feeling better, research shows that working out also makes you a better employee. For example, British researchers found those who spent 30 to 60 minutes exercising during lunch reported a 15% performance spike on average, with 60% saying their time management skills improved. Also, exercising twice a week may improve thinking ability and memory in people with mild cognitive impairment, which includes difficulty completing complex tasks or understanding information they've read. Working out can also boost your mood by releasing feel-good endorphins in the brain that decrease pain and stress. Breaking a sweat can also increase your confidence because you're feeling healthier, looking better, and getting more done. It is 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Born in brutal winter weather that's brought sub-zero temperatures to parts of the U.S. is threatening to dump snow and ice across parts of the South that rarely see flurries, much less accumulation. The National Weather Service says a wintry mix of snow and freezing rain is expected today along the Atlantic seaboard from Florida to North Carolina. Farther north, meteorologist William Babcock says New England is tracking a big snowstorm.
It will hit its peak on Thursday, snow heavy at times, with heavy accumulation possible.
Well, most of the continental U.S. is freezing. Alaska is basking in balmy conditions. The temperature hit 44 degrees in Anchorage yesterday, tying the daily high mark that was set in 1981 and matched in 2011. The normal high in Anchorage is 24. Republican Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah says he will not seek re-election in November, opening the door to a potential Senate bid by Mitt Romney, the 2012 Republican presidential candidate and one of the party's harshest critics of President Trump.
Although I will miss serving you in the Senate, I look forward to spending more time with my family, especially my sweet wife Elaine, whose unwavering love and support made all of this possible.
The 83-year-old Hatch is the most senior Republican in the Senate, having first been elected in 1976. He is chairman of the Tax Writing Senate Finance Committee. Thomas Monson, the president of the Mormon Church, has died at the age of 90. Monson spent more than five decades serving in top church leadership councils, making him a well-known face and personality to multiple generations of Mormons. The next church president has not yet been named. Well, if you're still getting those annoying telemarketing calls, you're far from alone. The FTC says complaints about automated calls jumped steeply last year and have quintupled since 2009. In fiscal 2017, the agency received over 375,000 complaints per month about automated robocalls. The FTC says robocalls are steadily increasing because of cheap access to internet calling services and auto dialing, and because it's getting easier for spammers to hide their true identity and location. Except for some charities and political campaigns, most robocalls are illegal, whether or not your number is on the national Do Not Call registry.
That's the most frustrating part of that.
I know. It doesn't seem to work.
They even mimic my home line now.
I know.
which doesn't ring for any personal calls anymore at all. Well, we never answer it.
Right. Crazy.
Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. The Wall Street Journal says a pileup of boxes from a boom in holiday shopping online is inspiring Yuletide craftiness. Caroline Krupa, for example, surprised her 3-year-old daughter on her December birthday with a castle partially made from LG appliance boxes and windowed walls from Amazon packaging. Even packaging pros have projects on the side. International paper company spokesman Tom Ryan says his wife uses leftover boxes to line their garden as a way to prevent weeds. But few have benefited more from the cardboard bounty than cats, which frequently turn their backs on toys and scratching posts and pet houses in favor of empty e-commerce containers. To perfect the art of the cardboard box cat castle, there is a cottage industry of YouTube training videos and blogs. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Support for This Morning with Gordon Deal comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. You're confident when it comes to your work and life. Rocket Mortgage gives you that same confidence when it comes to refinancing your existing mortgage or buying a home. Go to rocketmortgage.com/Gordon.